Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I see you Wednesday talking training camp, brought to you by Paul Henry's Windows. PaulHenrysWindows.com. Your clear home improvement choice. Grant and Danny on the Fan with you till 6:30, overtime at that time, live and local, deep into the evening. Lynnell Willingham's got you covered tonight. We're going to get back to Antonio Gibson, Brian Robinson, and whether or not there is a running back competition brewing in town in just a moment. 800-636-1067 if you want to discuss that with us on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. Danny, last night, I watched the brand new Manti Te'o documentary on Netflix.
I've heard it's amazing.
Oh, my. It is so good. Everyone should watch it. It's great. It's two episodes. They are about an hour in length. It's a mini series, I guess, of sorts. By the way, it ended so abruptly. Mm-hmm. I thought like something had happened, and I'm like rewinding.
It's just over.
Did I hit a button? It just stops. But the instant that it stops, like a trailer plays for something else, it's very weird how it ends. Having said that,
yeah,
it's amazing. Now, there's not a whole lot that's new, I would say, that if you were glued to the case back in the day, you were glued to the story many, many years ago that you won't remember. But for me, it was a lot of, oh, I forgot about that. Or, wait, that happened like that? And frankly, I felt remorseful because I remember thinking that Manti Te'o was at best an idiot and at worst involved somehow. And just kind of filing that away is a weird thing that happened. And Manti Te'o, that was really strange. And how could you possibly have been duped and so dumb?
Uh-huh.
And I've never really thought about it again. This guy's life was ruined. The amount of millions of dollars that he lost, ended up having mental issues, anxiety and depression and having to get help and became a shell of himself as a football player because of it. And he was a complete victim. Really what happened was, in my opinion, we used in the future, at that time, catfishing had become a big deal and there was a TV show on MTV. And we all kind of think of it as, you got catfished? How could you possibly have gotten catfished? But he was one of the poster children for it. He was one of the first guys. It wasn't even a thing at that time. Not only that, but then you see the leap, the leaps taken and the lengths to which the person who catfished him, Renaya Tuiasosopo, went to. I'm just telling you, Danny, I was absolutely enthralled for all 120 of those minutes. That documentary is as good as anything I've seen on Netflix in years.
I can't wait to watch it. It is absolutely 100% of the queue. Now, I will tell you this, and again, this is I am not saying this is how it is. I'm saying in real time, as the details of this story were kind of slowly coming out, and it seemed like every day there was a new revelation or something different or a new player that was involved in some kind of way. But at the time, I remember thinking, this dude's either a liar or a buffoon, right? It was like no in between. And you sort of, the more you found out about it, you're kind of going, just as you said, sounds like correctly, no. This was a victim. And on the other end of it was this diabolical, what are you getting out of this supervillain that was just ruining this guy's life over Lord knows what? Like the motivation for that, it's something I just never understood. And I remember at the time there was a Dr. Phil was a thing. It was a Dr. Phil episode where they had the guy, the Tuiasa Sopo dude, on, and he had to go behind a screen to do the voice of the made-up girlfriend.
Insane.
He couldn't do it on command in front of people, and he went behind this screen to do it, and they had, like, well, Dr. Phil's like, we have a speech pathologist who's going to tell us, there's no way, that sound, and it was like this unbelievable voice. He's like, a human being shouldn't be able to do that, and you could do it, and he was doing it for months. Months.
He had dozens of world-renowned experts basically saying,
yes,
that's not the same person. There's no
it's
way.
Not the same person.
And this person, as someone in the documentary said, this Renaya Tuiasa Sopo, should have been doing voices for Disney, basically.
Yes.
Because he, at the time, was playing so many of these characters. He was Linnea Kukua. He was her brother and her cousin and her friend. And, I mean, it was the depths, again, with which, and there's no spoilers. I mean, this happened years ago. But we're talking about a couple of the moments of this documentary that just blew my mind that I don't remember. Where, for weeks, every day, Manti Te'o, while he thought his girlfriend, after a car accident, was like on a ventilator, basically clinging to life by way of a machine, he was told by a friend, which was the same person tricking him, that a nurse said that when he spoke to his, he thought, girlfriend, that it was the only time she really responded, and it was keeping her alive, essentially. So this person who was tricking him would make this breathing sound like this. And from like a distance away from the phone. And he thought the phone was being put down every night. And he was just talking to this person who was on life support for like hours. And he would just do this for weeks, it sounds like. And things like that you just can't imagine.
Insane.
And you say, well, how did you not confirm? How could you not meet this person? You know, they cooked up this idea of the car accident and life support because he was threatening, I'm just coming to meet you. I don't care if you're worried, because she had said, well, I have leukemia and I don't like you want you to see me like this for the first time. He didn't care about that. I'm coming to see you. I'm coming to meet you. Then I'm in this car accident and all of her siblings are talking to him and you're keeping her alive, but of course you're not going to try to go see her when you can't get into the hospital for whatever reason and all this other stuff. So then he goes, okay, if you're really alive, I want you to take a picture and I want this written on a piece of paper and this date and I want you to do this with your hand and all this stuff. She contacts the person who she is, Renaya Tuiasa Sopo contacts this person who is the pictures basically that she stole, like the real girl, the real images, who was a high school peer, I think. Not a friend, but just someone who went to the same high school as Tuiasa Sopo. Out of the blue, after probably years without communication, and comes up with this thing that is needed for a relative based on we're trying to make these feel-good pictures from as many people as possible. Can you do this in the image? And this random person, out of the kindness of their heart's like, okay.
Okay.
It's like sends the picture, which then gets sent to Manti Te'o, and he's going, well, this is real. I mean, how could you take this picture?
Right.
I just, so much stuff that I didn't remember, I didn't see. It's amazing. It just is.
That saga was unbelievable. I can't wait to watch that thing, man.
And I forgot how big of a deal he was.
Yes.
That, what was that, the 12 or 13 Notre Dame season when they got to the championship game?
Yeah, 2012, I want to say, right?
They played Alabama. I remember watching that Natty title game with Rich Campbell. At the time, we were both on the then Redskins beat, and I was at the Bungalow in Shirlington, which is no longer a bar. I think it's since become a different...
Condos?
It's like a different bar of a different altogether. But I remember just thinking, wow, is this guy really... He's going to get drafted in the first round. I was at the Combine, went to his press conference. It was the biggest press conference in terms of cameras, people I've ever seen in my life, I've ever attended. It was hundreds and hundreds of people around the podium. Super soft-spoken. And there was no editorializing. There was not a narrator. It wasn't like they were like painting things with anybody giving opinions. Mm-hmm. It was just Te'o telling his story, Renaya Tuiasa Sopo's side of the story, directly from Tuiasa Sopo. And because of that, I ended up thinking, and I want to know if you, when you watch this, think the same thing. I ended up thinking it was not hard enough on Tuiasa Sopo. I thought there was a lot of, this is where I was at in my life, and I'm better off now. And I understand this person went through a ton, and there are all kinds of issues mentally, physically, that they were having, and I understand that. But I would just like it acknowledged that someone's life was ruined for no reason other than that you did something terrible. Period. Like, let's just start with that.
Sorry you're going through it. Lots of people going through lots of things. Please don't ruin a person's life with months and months and months and months and months and months and months of lying.
When you watch it, I'd like to discuss with you more in more detail on the show.
Indeed.
I think it would be worth our time.
Let's make a pact.
Let's get to the phones. Omar is in Silver Spring on Grant and Danny.
Omar coming.
Omar wants to talk about the running back room for the Commanders. What's up, Omar?
Hey, how's it going, Grant and Danny? First time caller.
Oh, look at you. First time callers to the Grant and Danny radio program representing.
Hip hip hooray! Hip hip hooray! Hip hip hooray!
If people notice, by the way, I always say look at you after a first time caller. I'm always stalling until Darius plays the clip.
You're Jordan stalling
so
every
just,
time.
I'm looking at Darius going, oh, a first time caller.
I got to be better. Short show. I wasn't prepared. That's on me.
I'm not outing you. But I just want people to know that when I sound like an idiot when they say I'm a first time caller, I've never just once said, oh, welcome to the show. It's always like, that's interesting. First time calling, huh? Look at you. And I'm just words until Darius plays the clip. That's all I'm
just
doing.
Just vamping, yeah.
Anyway, what's up? Thank you for the call, Omar.
Hey, Omar.
All right. Yeah, I just had a couple points. I just wanted to say, as far as Gibson, I don't think it's time to sound the alarm bells just yet. But I definitely feel like he did open up the opportunity for it to be a legitimate battle. To see who actually is the starter. But ultimately, I think Rivera is just trying to put a little bit of fire behind him so that he plays harder. And I think this could ultimately be a great thing where we end up having a three-headed monster where Robinson, Gibson, and McKissick are out there killing it. I think taking the ball out of Gibson's hands a little bit more to keep him a little bit more fresh could ultimately be a good thing.
So I agree with all of that, and I think you're on to something. Thank you for the call. If Robinson, though, is splitting carries or heavily involved, then it does mean that it was in some way a demotion for Antonio Gibson, who was fourth in the NFL in rushes last year. There was no splitting carries. First and second downs, when Washington was running the football, he was on the field. Mm-hmm. If now it's Gibson and Robinson on first and second downs, or Robinson and Gibson. It's a big, big difference, and that's kind of the point, right, is we're trying to figure out, because you labeled it well, is he lighting a fire, or is this a possible changing of the guard? Just not even, I would say, opinion here. This is just exactly what's happened since the game. Rivera took to the podium and was unhappy with how Gibson ran the ball. Didn't really even mention or care, seemingly, that he had fumbled. I'm sure he did care, but he was upset with how he ran it. He didn't run hard enough. He didn't put his nose down and go forward like he wanted. And he basically asked the media, remind him of this. You know, let him know that I want him to run harder was, I think, the quote. I mean, those aren't two words you want to hear, run harder. So he said that right after the game this weekend. Now you've got a rep shift where how often you're with the first team, whether you're on punt team, whether you're on special teams. We're seeing this in practice. So there is some smoke here. I'm not telling you that there's going to be a fire, but you can't tell me there's no smoke here.
Well, this weekend is going to be the definitive to me. Well, I guess not definitive.
It's
a
start.
We could do something totally. Yeah, we could do something totally different here in week one to take everyone by surprise. But how things get divvied up this weekend is going to tell you a lot. Like, we learned after this first preseason game when, hey, did you notice that Samus Reyes only had two reps and they were both on special teams? And these two, you know, tight ends that were late round / undrafted guys got a bunch. Next thing you know, Samus Reyes, IR. You're hearing good things now about Armani Rogers and company. This is, you know, a production business here, and I think there's a, okay, we'll give you the benefit of the doubt. We want you to work on XYZ. We come back, our first game action, XYZ is not improved upon. In fact, it may be, you know, worse at this stage in terms of the fumbles, and I'm sure they addressed this, you need to run hard, whatever Ron Rivera was talking about with Gibson. And if it didn't happen, there's frustration there. They're he's going to be on the team, but they're now basically saying, okay, what can we use you for? No longer necessarily bell cow back that's in line for 300 touches.
I also don't really get that run hard critique. It is obviously a larger point that Rivera once made, and I'm sure based on...
Me neither, by the way.
Either last season or maybe camp or whatever. Like, this is something that he wanted to say. But you could... Like, my dad, as an example, could want to talk to me about, like, wanting me to lose weight or get healthy or whatever. He sees me in my 30s, and you got two kids now. Hey, man, you should probably trim some LBs. And he just decides the next time he sees me, we're going to have that conversation. And if I'm sitting at the table and I eat a salad, it's a weird time to have that. Like, hey, you're eating a salad. You should really start thinking about. That's kind of what I thought happened this weekend, if this makes sense. Like, he wants to address this idea that he needs to run hard. I didn't think that was the problem in the preseason game this weekend. I really didn't. Watching that first carry, which Rivera took issue with, there are quite literally two pullers in front of him who he has to wait on. He's being patient because he had to be. I didn't think he was wasting time. It wasn't like some run straight downhill with nobody pulling where he just kind of hopped around like Le'Veon Bell picking his spot. If you go back and watch that run, Danny, there's two guys who he's waiting for to come around to get where they need to be, and then he hits it. And then after that, in the game, Rivera said he ran a lot better. He really liked what he saw. He just kind of ran, and this is me paraphrasing, as hard as he could into the line of scrimmage. They didn't get any yards. He just kind of ran into bodies. That's not good running back play.
Yeah, I don't know. I just
patience, vision. You know, you don't have to do it at 100 miles an hour. Do it at 70 miles an hour and hit us. Make your L cut and now get up to speed like a roller
coaster. Yeah, when you go. The thing I think he lacks is vision. I think he doesn't have that there. If you just wait an extra count, or if you plant that foot in a certain way, then you get the linebacker to overcommit, and then your cutback lane is there. The guy that was the master of this was Arian Foster, right? Who may not have been the fastest, who was just an okay running back in college with a fumbling problem, and he, whatever it was, the light bulb went on, the switch went on, and he was just amazing at this, just setting you up, moving laterally, patient as all hell, and then when it was time to get upfield, boy, did he get upfield. Gibson doesn't have that. Gibson is you know, JoJo the Idiot Circus Boy right out of the gate, you know, running into the butt of the lineman, or just sort of going where the play is supposed to go, never seeing a cutback lane, never seeing opportunities for more. So it's a strange criticism for sure. And I know that's secondary compared to what we're ultimately talking about here, which is maybe a guy losing his gig after rushing for 1,000 yards last year. But I get the sense there's some frustration at a minimum with Gibson. And this is, we're either talking about a shot across the bow motivational technique or a loss of role. Pretty substantial deal, I'd say.
So to your point about Saturday against the Chiefs, I think that if Gibson does not get the first carry of the game, it's a massive deal. Because at that point, even if it's just to see what Robinson has or whatever, verdict's in, man. Then this is officially now on. This is absolutely a competition. And Brian Robinson has pulled even. Or let's just say he's not even. Let's say he's still behind Gibson. A healthy Antonio Gibson, watching him run the week after he lost the fumble and Robinson was their best running back, is unequivocally a story. Nobody can say otherwise. And that's before you even dive into the fact that Rivera said what he said after the game. Now, his comment when he said, oh, we competed every position, because I think someone asked something along the lines of, hey, is there an open competition now at running back for the top job? And again, I'm paraphrasing, but he said something along the lines of, we're competing at every position. That's coach speak, right? That is a thing that a coach says that is not authentically what is happening. Carson Wentz is not competing with Taylor Heinicke. If Heinicke right. has the best preseason, or Sam Howell puts up three bangers in a row and is just a stud at the end of August, he'll be the stud holding the clipboard with an earpiece in on the inactive list. There is not a competition at quarterback. There either is or isn't. It's kind of binary. And the question was a good one, and Rivera just said, oh, well, we compete around here. That's what we do. We always have competitions. Okay, fine. I get that. That's what a coach says. But if Brian Robinson is the guy with the first team on the first drive, that's a massive story and a big deal. Now, he could have three carries for minus 4 yards. He doesn't really fumble. As you said, 600-plus carries at Alabama, he didn't fumble. So assuming he doesn't do that, you could still make the case that maybe it was better than what Gibson did 1 week earlier. I would think we'll see both of them with the first team. But if I'm Rivera, I would play Gibson first as to not really rock the boat, unless you don't care at all. If you don't care about any kind of rumblings in the media or distraction or what, and he should never care about our show or anything like that. But if you don't want to fuel the fire and you just want to see both of them, then have Gibson get a drive, then Robinson. Gibson, then Robinson. You could go back and forth every other, and you could go A-B, A-B, A-B. They both get three drives with the first team in the first half or whatever, if you want to do it that way. But if it's not Gibson to start, we got ourselves an old-fashioned running back controversy.
Situation, yeah. And you also need to know your guy, too. Right? I mean, how are people going to respond? Some people it's carrot, some people it's stick. You know, if you don't, to your point, I think you said it very well, if you don't care, you just play the best guy and sort of that's that. Cream will rise to the crop, to the top. I think it's running back, and guys are always banged up. You're going to have contact. Guys will miss time. I think you'll end up needing everybody in that room at some point. If you keep five, I think five are going to end up playing at some point for you in meaningful football games. But you also got to know, like, am I going to lose Gibson forever if I make him the punt protector here for a couple of weeks, or if I start Brian Robinson, or is this exactly what the kid needs? I think that's important because, listen, they're better if – both those guys are doing things for them. Again, because I really do believe it. You're going to need everyone. That is a 100% attrition rate injury position. There's going to be a moment where even, you know, if you left Antonio Gibson in the doghouse, it's going to be third and one in a divisional game that you got to have a first down. You're going to hand the ball to Antonio Gibson. You're going to need him at some point this year. So you don't want to lose him at this stage. But you got to know him. So, I mean, to me, I think their better option is Brian Robinson. But that doesn't mean I want Antonio Gibson shot into the sun. I mean, there was this weird little buzz all of a sudden over the last 24 hours that they should cut Gibson. That's ridiculous and absurd. They should not do that at all. There's a place for him. I just think they have better options that should see more of the bulk of the carries and touches out of the backfield.
Yeah, for me, the discussion is just about how you're divvying up your carry pie. That's pretty much all we're talking about here. They should absolutely not be considering not having him on the football team. I think he can help not only at tailback, where he was one of seven guys in the league that ran for 1,000 yards last year, but in that Curtis Samuel role with some versatility, put him in the slot, have him run routes against linebackers occasionally, try to game plan him with a package, if he's not the running back one, into the offense in some way to be versatile and multiple, which, you know, they need to do more of. But I loved your point about kind of the idea of everyone's going to play, because it makes me think of whether or not it even matters. You know, we're talking about, has he been supplanted? Who's the running back one? It's not like that's the quarterback position, you know, where one guy gets every snap. It may not matter at all who the first running back is. I mean, we are fantasy influenced as fans now, as media members, and so it feels like the end of the world if he were to get benched or fall behind on the depth chart, because it is a huge deal in fantasy communities where everyone's got their dynasty leagues and, you know, people have been ranking running backs for months and, you know, fantasy experts have been raving about what Antonio Gibson would become for a couple of years. And in the grand scheme of things, does it really matter that much? I mean, they drafted a guy in the third round a couple of years ago who's been okay. They drafted another guy this year in the third round who was really, really good in the first game. Maybe it's not that big of a deal. I always say in hockey, two goalies are going to play. You obviously have your starter and you have your backup, but two play. In baseball, you platoon at certain positions, right? First base, you could have a guy who hits lefties, a guy who hits righties. Quarterback's different. I mean, there's one guy who gets every snap. Left tackle's different. We're not rotating. There's no platoon here. Running back is more of a platoonable rotation. It's like D-line. You're not going to play 100% of snaps. You just want to have your fair share and carve out your role. Maybe it doesn't matter that much.
It does in the sense that, you know, if you're basically, let's say for the sake of argument, there are 20 carries to go around in a game. I know that's not an exact number, but just bear with me. Last year, Gibson averaged 16 a game. J.D. McKissic is going to be in that 4 to 6 range, and then, you know, his other touches are going to come through the passing game, and then it's other, whether it was Jarrett Patterson or Jonathan Williams or whomever is going to make up the other 2, 3, 4, 5. If you're flipping that, you're talking about a pretty significant number of plays when things are mattered and all things are equal. So you're right in the sense that there's, if you truly have a timeshare, you go with the hot hand, then, you know, it could be one game, one guy gets 9, one guy gets 11, the next game it's 10 and 12. I mean, if it's that point, but I see this more as a, when all things are right, 72 and sunny, we got our full complement available, who would we rather hand the ball off to? And if it's Brian Robinson, you know, swapping that role out from Antonio Gibson, where he's the change of pace, or he's the guy when Robinson gets tired on the third drive, that is a pretty significant deal. But my point about everybody playing is, you know, think about how many times Gibson's been nicked up. I mean, it's natural. It's that running back spot. They take such a pounding, even in pass pro, on plays that aren't running the football. There's somebody coming through and they got to chip or help out or get hit around. They're all going to play. They're all going to matter. But who they major in, I think it is a story, and it's going to start this weekend, frankly. You're right. I think you're right. I'll be watching that first possession like a hawk. If Brian Robinson trots out there and they hand it off over left tackle, oh, boy, am I going to sing a song come Monday.
Speaking of preseason game 2 and week 2 in Kansas City this weekend, we got a Commanders spotlight we're going to be doing tomorrow, which we're looking forward to on G&D+. Plus, it's been 2 years since the Commanders hired Jason Wright. We'll spend some time tomorrow discussing his first couple years with the team. And FedEx Field has a sports book coming to Landover, Maryland. First one ever that Fanatics is running. We got sports books all over the joint. We got one at Nats Park. We got one at Audi Field. We got one at FedEx Field. We got one at Capital One Arena. No city has more sports books at their stadiums than we do here in the nation's capital. We'll talk about that tomorrow as well. Short show because of the Nats, but we're back and hopefully better than we've been in a while. Probably not ever, but better than we've been in some time. Tomorrow, 2 o'clock to 6:30 here on The Fan. For Danny, I'm Grant, saying so long. Darris and Ryan, hard work behind the scenes. We appreciate you, as always. What's on the schedule tonight at the beach, Danny?
We're going to have a nice, relaxing dinner, and I have no idea what we're having, even though it's being made 30 feet from me.
All right. Use that nose and try to smell and see what you got. See you later. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Grant and Danny Linnell, coming your way next on Overtime.
Thank you for coming.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.